The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. Did you hear the one about the recent college graduate who's suing her college in New York for $72,000? No, she wasn't injured on campus or a victim of gross negligence. The graduate is suing, in her words, the colleges, and I quote, "the Officer of Career Advancement did not help me with a full-time job placement, and I'm also suing them because of the stress I have been going through." Yes, you heard it correctly. So now, according to this young lady, a college is not only responsible for providing you with an education, it's also responsible for getting you a job. Oh, and maintaining your stress levels at an acceptable level. There is such a thing called personal responsibility. Regrettably, these litigators, as well as thousands of others filing such ridiculous lawsuits every day, believe they are completely free and clear of personal responsibility. Yet everyone else owes them. Forget about working hard, accepting blame, or even sharing blame. It's everyone else's fault. They see lawsuits as their way of bucking the system, getting something for nothing, regardless of who they hurt or how much taxpayer money they spend, not to mention clogging the court system. Let's face it, the United States has gained a reputation of being a very litigious society. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, Paul reminds us, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing or forbearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Paul said we should be bearing with one another. Many other translations correctly tell us that we should be forbearing one another. How well have we made forbearance part of our character? As we look into the characteristic of becoming forbearing, we may find out that we are not as forbearing as God would like us to be. The dictionary says forbearance is refraining of enforcement of something. It could be the enforcement of a debt, or an example I've given before is the enforcement of rules of right-of-way at an intersection. Just because you may legally have the right-of-way at an intersection doesn't mean you should be taking it if it means preventing a crash. Forbearing is holding back or restraining the self from doing something that is normal to do. It is controlling oneself when provoked or offended. Notice an example of God's forbearance to ancient Israel. Turning to Psalm 78, verse 38, we read, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again." God judged ancient Israel. His judgments were severe, but not as severe as they should have been. The Bible clearly tells us that God drew back his wrath on them. You could think about the problems with modern-day America, Canada, Great Britain, and the English-speaking nations of the world. The political corruption, the crime, the financial problems. God's not pleased with these nations right now. Rather, God is showing his compassion, his forbearance. Yes, these nations, because of their continuous breaking of God's laws, severe penalties from God, but God is giving the people an opportunity to see the error of their ways and to come to repentance. Ask yourself, when someone does something wrong, for example, when someone drives inappropriately around you, do you pray for God's justice to be enacted on them right away, or do you ask for God's forbearance? Forbearance which God continually gives to you and me right now in abundance. We've already read, but let's read it again. Notice Colossians 3, verse 13, where the Apostle Paul said that we must be bearing or forbearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You may have heard a child say, after being corrected by their parent, verbally lashing back at them, saying words such as, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." This may be the time to exercise forbearance, to remain calm. When people are upset, they so often say and do things they don't really mean. To lash back verbally, you only make matters worse. There may be a time when correction is needed for poorly spoken and often ill-timed words, but too often when individuals say things that shouldn't have been said, showing forbearance also sets a good example that you are also willing to forgive what was said. King Solomon, a man God gave a lot of wisdom to, teaches us a good lesson on forbearance. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beginning in verse 20. He said, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." Solomon is making the point that no one is perfect all the time. Everyone makes mistakes. It is the character of a good person to want to do good, but that doesn't always happen, as we are reminded. Solomon continues the thought in verse 21, where he says, "Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." Solomon advises us not to pay attention to or take to heart everything people say, even if we hear a fellow employee, a close friend, or unfortunately someone very close to us insulting us, because we know that we have said things that we have not meant or regretted to say to other people many times as well. Understanding the word curse that Solomon said is important here. It does not mean to invoke or to bring evil or misfortune upon someone, or even to damn the person. It's the Hebrew word qalal, which simply means to make light or trifle or to bring into contempt or abate. Our English word abate means to make less or to reduce in quantity, value, degree, or intensity. These verses do not give specific examples of what might have been said. Perhaps it was a defaming remark, an unwarranted comment, an angry threat, or a joke at someone else's expense, or deliberate untruths. What was said is really not important. The Bible translation, today's English version, makes it easy to understand. So reading from it, it says again, beginning in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, "There is no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never makes a mistake. Don't pay attention to everything people say. You may hear your servant insulting you, and you know yourself that you have insulted other people many times." So in face of some poorly chosen words spoken to you, the true quality of self-restraint is displayed in our ability to take it patiently with forbearance. A person who displays forbearance is not quick to retaliate or promptly punish someone who has insulted, offended, or harmed you. Maybe you have never thought about it, but by gossiping about someone, and we all know what that is, saying negative things about someone behind their back, we are showing the opposite, or the lack of forbearance, toward that individual. Do we love others enough to treat them with forbearance? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, that we will genuinely show love to others by forbearing or bearing all things with them. The Greek word stego, translated bear or forbear, means to cover, conceal, or protect. Paul means that it is an act of godly love when we keep silent about unfavorable matters, when we restrain ourselves from talking about someone else's sin, when we delay judgment and keep our brother's reputation intact, when we keep a sin or a fault hush between us and the walls, as it were, so the person has time to repent and to recover from it. If we don't keep quiet, we are gossiping about the person. Have you ever thought of it? What if God were able, and he is able but chooses not to, but what if God decided to gossip about you to your friends, employees, or relatives about your faults? We certainly wouldn't like that. We need to be careful and not to let any of our friends, workmates, neighbors, even your family's sins become a source of mockery toward others because we let the cat out of the bag and gossiped about them. There are people's sins and faults that we should take with us to the grave, as Paul as much as said about the man in Corinth. He said, "Those things shouldn't even be talked about. Shut up, keep it to yourself, cover that person's sin in love." In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, we read, "And above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Do we love our brother enough to give him a chance to repent? God does. Why can't we? Rather than have the forbearance to allow our brethren to repent, we just want to sometimes kick them in the pants. Why can we not be a little bit more forbearing as God is? This needs to be part of our prayers, to ask God to give us more of his characteristic of becoming more forbearing. What about forbearance in marriage? Once again, forbearance means to put up with, to endure patiently without lashing back, without punishment to the offender. I know this is a silly question, but I must ask it to make my point. Can you think of anything that your spouse does that you must put up with or endure patiently with? Now, I'm not talking about what part of the tube of toothpaste you should squeeze. That's just a personal idiosyncrasy on your part. No other human being on earth, other than maybe your parents, knows you as well as your spouse. When your spouse does something to you that is clearly wrong, wrong against God's standards, how well do you put up with it? Be honest with yourself. When was the last time your spouse did something to you God would not approve of? Did you lash back, or did you take it patiently? Remember what the Apostle Paul reminds us of in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Words with similar meanings to forbearance are restrain, tolerance, and leniency. I didn't ask if your spouse was forbearing to you. If your spouse doesn't put up patiently with how you treat them, that's for them to answer. The question is, how forbearing are you? If your answer is, come on, give me a break. You wouldn't believe what they said to me or what they did to me. You better believe I let them know that I don't, and I'm not going to tolerate or appreciate what they did to me. Well, that's not what Jesus Christ inspired the Apostle Paul to say to you. God speaks to us personally through his spoken word. Let's hear it one more time. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said in verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We all like to justify our own actions, but the honest truth is, there is no justification. Period. We all know Christ tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 41, and why do you look at your speck in your brother's eye and do not perceive a plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove that speck that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that's in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove that plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. The error of not exercising God-commanded forbearance is just as wrong as the other person's actions. And the moment you think you are God's anointed one to dish out punishment on your spouse when God tells us we are to exercise forbearance, stop and take a deep breath. If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write in for two booklets, Walk with God and Are Christians Free from the Law? All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us at the Marble Hill Church of God at 573-238-3675. This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and The Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.